الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله Dear brothers in attendance and viewers of Madani channel, there are many excellences, fadail, of reciting Salat ala Nabi, peace and blessings upon the best of creation, our beloved Master sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. In one particular narration which is found in At-Targhib wa At-Tarhib, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has stated, Man salla alayya fi yawmin alfa marra. Whoever recites Salat upon me 1,000 times in a day. لَمْ يَمُتْ حَتَّى يَرَى مَقْعَدَهُ مِنَ الْجَنَّةِ He shall not die until he sees his station in paradise in Jannah. This is the reward of reciting Salat ala Nabi, peace and blessings upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Once we hear such narrations, our mindset should be that at all times, whenever we're free, we are going to devote to reciting Salat ala Nabi and to reap the reward mentioned in this particular narration, we are to recite it 1,000 times in a day, inshaAllah. May Allah Ta'ala give us all tawfiq to do so. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. In today's day and age, when life is so hectic, so busy lives we are passing by, people have very less time to devote to worship or good deeds. This is the reality. It's a harsh reality. Every other person is so busy in earning, in acquiring wage, salary, income, other activities. When he's asked, the person will say, I have to do this. I have to put food on the table, I have kids, I have a spouse, etc., etc. And no doubt these are responsibilities and they are duties as well. If we don't fulfill them, we'd be sinful. If we're married, we have kids, it's their right upon us that we do that. But at the same time, if we're honest with ourselves, we can make improvements in our life. We can tweak things, we can change things, so that we are spending as much time as we possibly can in doing good deeds, in performing ibadah, in doing the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The reality is all of us can make changes in our life in order to do more good deeds. Let's be honest. So in this regard, let us hear some accounts, inshallah, of our pious predecessors, rahimahumullahu ta'ala, and also some effective methods and ways of spending most of our time doing good deeds, inshallah. These will prove very effective, very beneficial if we remember them and implement them in our lives as well. Firstly, an account from the life of Sayyida Rabi'a Basriya, rahmatullahi ta'ala alayha. A very high-ranking saint of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. She had proximity to the court of Allah Azza wa Jal. She was renowned, known for her worship, her devotion towards spiritual exercises, etc. She states that one night, I had a dream. And in that dream, I saw a lush tree. And the tree was very humongous, very large in size, in height. And what did I see? That there were three types of fruit on that tree. This is in her dream. He says there were some white colored fruits, some red colored fruits, and the others were yellow. So these three colors she saw in her dream. She describes them and she says they shone like the sun and the moon, illuminating fruits. She rahmatullahi alayha further explains, had a great liking for this tree, as anyone would. If we saw a tree like that in our dream, we too would desire it, desire to be the owner of that tree. And then she asked, whose tree is this? He inquired, whose tree is this that I'm seeing? Such a lush tree with these different colored fruits on there. And it was said, this is yours because of your tasbih that you recited and you recite as well. Meaning every day she had this schedule, this routine, this habit, this blessed habit of doing tasbih, meaning glorifying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And on that night as well, when she had that dream, she was doing tasbih and then she fell asleep. She continues and she says, I began to walk around the tree and then I saw golden colored fruit on the floor. I thought to myself, this fruit isn't on the tree. The fruit on the tree is a red color, yellow, and white. But what about this golden one? Let me ask about this. And she even said, how good it would be if this fruit was on that tree as well, all in a dream. And she was told, response was given, that this fruit was also attached to the tree as well. There was a time when this golden fruit was also attached to the tree that you see. But when you were reciting tasbih, for a moment, your mind diverted towards the dough. And you were thinking as to whether the dough had turned into yeast or not. That momentary pause in reciting tasbih, glorifying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, led to that golden colored fruit falling from the tree. This account is written in Qutul Qulub of Sayyidina Abu Talib Makki rahmatullahi ta'ala alayh. Now if we think about it, brothers in attendance, viewers of Madini Channel, subhanAllah, such a powerful account. So many lessons can be learned from this account. Sayyida Rabia Basriya rahmatullahi ta'ala alayha, she was someone who was obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, devoted all her time to worship, engaged in worship. This night when she was blessed with such a dream, she was doing tasbih of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. She was told that the tree that you are seeing in the dream and the different colored fruits on it, white, yellow, red, they belong to you. This tree belongs to you. Why? Because you used to do tasbih, you did tasbih this night as well and you fell asleep. But when she saw the golden colored fruit and she inquired, she was told that whilst reciting tasbih, your mind turned towards the dough that you had and you thought, had it turned into yeast or not? Because of that pause, momentary pause, that the golden colored fruit fell from the tree. Now me and you need to consider, contemplate, reflect, how much time do we waste? This was just a moment of reflection about the dough led to the golden colored fruit falling from the tree. Me and you, let's be honest, we spend hours in futile activities. And that's an understatement. We could spend, if you give us a week, we'll waste it, we'll end up wasting it. You know, we gladly take on challenges like that, ma'adallah. In this day and age, people are wasting a lot of time. And what we learn from this account is the more time we waste, the more time we misuse, we will be deprived from the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That, you know, firstly, we're not able to do ibadat kama haqquhu, and secondly, we're wasting time as well. So this is something very, very important and we need to consider. In the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us about every breath that we have, how important it is. In Surah Inshiqaq, for example, it states, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Ya ayyuha al-insanu, innaka kadihun ila rabbika kadhan famulaqih. O mankind, indeed you have to certainly run towards your Lord. Then you have to meet him, famulaqih, then you have to meet him. In Tafsir Nurul Irfan, it states that this verse what it actually means is that, O mankind, your every breath that you take draws you closer to death and meeting your Rabb, Allah Azza wa Jal, who sustains you and provides for you. So we're told in the Quran, value every single breath that you have. And when the Quran is telling something, instructing something, it's not to be taken lightly. If I was giving personal advice, okay, it's up to you whether you accept it or not. But when the Quran, the divine speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah ta'ala who created us, knows what is better for us, what is bad for us, if we don't accept that advice, then surely we will be in loss. And truly those who waste time are in loss. In Tafsir Kabir, Allama Fakhruddin Razi rahmatullahi alayhi mentions an account, a beautiful account. He says that one of our pious elders, he says, I learnt the meaning of the verse, إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَفِي خُسْرٍ, indeed insan is in loss, from somebody who sold ice. There was an ice seller, somebody who would sell blocks of ice. He says, one day I walked past such a person, and I heard him saying, إِرْحَمُوا مَنْ يَذُوبُ رَأْسُ مَالِهِ. Allahu Akbar. O people, be merciful to the one whose goods are melting. Meaning ice, that was his goods, what he was selling to earn an income. Be merciful to the one whose goods are melting, because if you don't buy this ice off me now, and then it turns into water, I've lost my goods. I can't profit from them. I can't benefit from them whatsoever. And this pious elder of ours, he says, when I heard this, Allahu Akbar, it hit me and I realized that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَفِي خُسْرٍ, this is the meaning, that life is melting away, just like that ice. Our life, this life that we have to utilize to perform good deeds, is melting away in the same fashion as ice. And he who does not gather good deeds in this life shall be in severe loss. He'll face severe harm. So this is how our elders, rahimahumullah ta'ala, would take advice, admonition, counsel from an ordinary example like that. If we came across something like that, perhaps we wouldn't have thought so deeply or reflected like that. But just as ice is melting away, and if it melts, you've lost your any benefit you can gain from it because you're selling it to people. Similarly, if your life melts away, your life finishes, comes to an end, ceases, terminates, then you've lost that opportunity to do good. So we need to be careful, we need to ensure that we're not misusing our time, wasting our time. And in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us our purpose. Why were me and you sent in the world? Was it to eat, sleep and drink? No. This is not the purpose of creation. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states in Surah Dariyat, Para 27, verse 56, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ, that I have created jinn and human beings only for this, that they should worship me. So everything should reflect around or should be centered around the ibadah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Everything is secondary and ibadah is the primary reason we are here. This is the thing that should be given priority in our lives. But sadly we do the opposite. We try to fit our lives in perfectly and then we say whatever time we have left we'll fit the deen in, we'll try and accommodate the deen, ma'adallah. We won't say that with our tongue, but our hal, our state shows that this is how we look at life. It should be the opposite, that ibadah comes first. All my five daily prayers come first. And my livelihood, other activities of life, I will fit around that. This is how it should be. And this is what we should pray for, Ya Allah, grant me such opportunities, such a halat, such a state in my life where this is the case. The deen is coming first, ibadah is coming first, the purpose of my creation is coming first, and everything is fit around that. This should be the case. A renowned wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a great Sufi, Mawlana Jalaluddin Rumi rahmatullahi alayh. Many people go and visit his shrine in Konya, Turkey. Mawlana Rumi rahmatullahi alayh is a very wise person, filled with wisdom. And he wrote Matnawi, collection of poems, but every line of that poetry that he wrote was filled with wisdom, filled with admonition, counsel, lesson for us. He says that if a king sends you somewhere, if a king sends you somewhere with a particular mission, you must fulfill this mission. You say, okay, labbaik, I'm here, I'm present. I'm ready to fulfill whatever you want me to do. He sent you with a special task. along the way you become distracted. You indulge in all sorts of other things as well, to the extent that you forget your initial reason why you set out. That task that you were set with, you completely forget about it. You're negligent about it. Maulana Rum Rahmatullahi Alayhi says, do you think the king will be pleased with you when he finds out that he sent you with a mission? You became distracted. Not only did you become distracted, you forgot that mission entirely. You became negligent of it, as if you were never ordered to do that thing in the first place. He says, do you think the king will be pleased with you? Of course not. The king will not be pleased with you. Now, without comparison, such a powerful example given by Maulana Rum Rahmatullahi Alayhi, without comparison, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the king of all kings, Malik al-Mulk, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent me and you to the world to worship him. We heard the verse, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. When we reach this world, we become distracted. This trial, this tribulation, this fitna, indulgence in this luxury we're seeking, this comfort we're looking out for. And then the mission that we were sent with, the purpose that we were sent with, we completely forget it. We neglect it. All our lives, we struggle to become steadfast in offering salah, 5 daily salah. All our lives we become steadfast in regards to the other ibadat. Hajj. Some people, Hajj was found upon them 30 years ago. Every year it's found upon them, they still don't perform it. So what bigger negligence in regards to your purpose is it than to not fulfill the faraid? So this is what we need to think about. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not be pleased with us because He has sent us for a particular purpose, we forgot that purpose. We neglected that purpose. We gave tarjih, preference to other things over that purpose. Okay, I was created for ibadah, but in the meantime, I'll do this and I'll do that and I'll spend a few years doing this. Before you know it, life is over. And we've not done what we could have done. We haven't fulfilled our potential. And this is a jumla that said a lot, fulfill your potential. But are we fulfilling our potential in regards to the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Are we maximizing efforts to do the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? If we're not, we have to consider. And we still have time. As long as we're breathing, we have time to rectify our ways. So inshallah, this leads me on to the focal point of this speech. How can we increase our good deeds? How can we ensure that we're spending most of our time performing good deeds? Inshallah, a few tips in this regard. Listen carefully. The first thing, if we truly want to value our time, then we must cut out sins. Sinning is a big problem. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Hubbu dunya ra'su kulli khati'atin." That love of the world is the root cause of all sins. Every sin, if you look at the root cause, the reasoning behind it, love of the world, indulgence in the world. Otherwise, why would a person sin? That love of the world overpowers and dominates the heart. Then a person falls into error, commits sin. Now, in this regard, Sayyidina Umar bin Khattab radiallahu ta'ala has said something which is very, very important for us to remember. He says, you may think it's just one sin. When we commit a sin, it's one sin. But Amir al-Mu'mineen Sayyidina Umar bin Khattab radiallahu ta'ala said that one sin brings 10 negative consequences. 10 evils accompany that sin. Number one, he says that the sinner earns the wrath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not pleased with that person. Number two, when a person sins, he pleases the accursed shaitan. He displeases Allah, but who does he please? Shaitan la'in, shaitan the accursed. Number three, the third consequence of sinning, a person distances himself from paradise. Number four, he becomes closer to the hellfire. Distances himself from paradise, becomes closer to hellfire. Number five, he harms his most beloved thing. A person loves himself, he loves his own life. He harms his own life. Number six, he corrupts his inner self. His batin, which he should have purified, he corrupts it instead by sinning. Number seven, he offends kiram and katibin, the noble scribes that we all have on our shoulders. The right side is writing our good deeds, the left side writing our misdeeds. We offend them, we busy them in writing when we sin. Number eight, Allahu Akbar. Number eight, he causes grief to the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in his noble shrine. In Al-Madinatul Munawwara, Zadaha Allahu Sharafan wa Ta'zeema, whenever we sin, we are inflicting sorrow upon the blessed heart of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And who is saying this? One of the closest companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Sayyiduna Umar bin Khattab radiyallahu ta'ala an. Number nine, when a person sins, he makes the heavens and the earth and the entire creation a witness to his disobedience. They'll be witnessing against him, not for him when he sins. The heavens, the earth, entire creation. And number 10, he deceives all humans and disobeys Allah Almighty. These were 10 consequences of sinning. Now if we want to maximize our good deeds, we want to spend most our time doing good deeds, it goes without saying that we have to cut our sins. At all costs, we have to remove sin from our life if you want a pure life, inshallah. Hayatan tayyiba. The second thing, the ulama advise, if you want to spend most of your time doing good deeds, doing worthwhile deeds, then what you need to do is cut out useless things. We just heard cutting out sins. But there are other actions which are futile, which are useless. They don't benefit at all. And useless acts have been defined as those acts which don't benefit your dunya nor your akhirah. There's no benefit in them whatsoever. Cut them out. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, and this is in Tirmidhi, that min husni islamil mar'i tarkuhu ma la ya'ni. That from the beauty of a person's religion is his abandoning those things which do not concern him. Who is saying this? The Prophet alayhi wa sallam. The beauty of a person's religion is found in what? In leaving things that don't concern you. Things have no benefit, futile, useless, leave them. Don't go near them. So that's another way of maximizing our time in doing good deeds. The third tip is, if we want to earn as much deeds as possible, do as much good deeds as possible, have a habit of making good intentions. We regularly mention the fadail of making good intentions. Niyatul mu'mini khayrun min amali. The Prophet ﷺ said, the intention of a believer is better than his action. The first hadith in Bukhari, innamal a'malu binniyat. That actions are based upon intentions. There's so much emphasis, ahmiyyah, and significance attached to intention in Islam. Let me give an example of how you can turn a normal act into a rewardable act. Every day we carry out acts that are mubah, meaning they're permissible. But to be rewarded for them, we need good intentions. When we eat, it's something we do regularly. Some people 3 times, some people more than that a day. We eat regularly throughout our lives. It's the way that Allah has created for us to gain nourishment. But do you know that if you make a simple intention before eating, you could be rewarded for eating as well? Yes, this is the beauty of our religion of Islam. That before you even begin eating, if you pause for a moment, it's going to be difficult for the nafs, for the ego, because a person may not be used to it. He pauses for 30 seconds. So, Ya Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I am going to eat with good intentions. I'm going to eat the halal rizq that you have provided me. Ya Allah, I intend to eat according to the sunnah with my right hand. I will drink according to the sunnah, taking 3 sips. Ya Allah, any strength and energy that I gain from the food, I will use that to worship you. I will use that to do good deeds. And I will not use that energy to disobey you. When you make simple intentions like this before eating, something we don't even consider a major thing, you will be rewarded for eating. When you go to sleep at night, or whenever you take a nap or anything like that, again you make the same intentions. Ya Allah, I'm gaining energy by sleeping. I'm sleeping, why? Because I want to be fresh, active when I wake up, so I can worship you, that I can call towards the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you make intentions like this, you're rewarded for sleeping even as well. So like this, one major way, great way of making your time worthwhile and valuable is making good intentions before good deeds. Good intentions before permissible deeds. And Allah Hazrat Imam Ahmad Reza Khan Ali Rahma said, it's foolish that if you know that you can make 10 intentions for one single act, for coming to the masjid for example, you can make tens of intentions. Every footstep I take, I'll be rewarded for it. I will invite others to the masjid as well. I will meet my fellow Muslims there. I'll pray with Jama'ah congregation. Whilst there, I will learn Islamic knowledge. I will recite the Quran. When you make these good intentions, and you know from one deed, coming and offering salah, you can make so many good intentions. He says it's foolish to only restrict yourself to one intention. I'm just going to the masjid. No, you should make as much good intentions as possible. Inshallah. I remember the beauty of Islam, that even if you do not fulfill that good deed, you will be rewarded for it by the mercy of Allah. The hadith states in Sahih Muslim, مَنْ هَمَّ بِحَسَنَةٍ فَلَمْ يَعْمَلْهَا كُتِبَ لَهُ حَسَنَةٌ. That whoever intends a good action, but he is not able to do that good action for whatever reason, but because he intended it, كُتِبَ لَهُ حَسَنَةٌ, a good deed will be written for him. So this is the beauty of our religion. And these are simple ways. I'm not giving any intricate ways. These are simple ways we can maximize our good deeds as well, inshallah. Another tip, and I'll finish with this one as well, a beautiful tip, if you want to maximize your time in doing good deeds, is adopt the sunnah of the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We already know the reward, subhanallah, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, مَنْ أَحَبَّ سُنَّتِي فَقَدْ أَحَبَّنِي وَمَنْ أَحَبَّنِي كَانَ مَعِيَ فِي الْجَنَّةِ. That whoever loves my sunnah loves me, and whoever loved me, he will be with me in paradise. And in one narration, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said three times that Allah have mercy upon my deputies. Allah have mercy upon my deputies. Allah have mercy upon my deputies. The Prophet alayhi wa sallam said this three times. And then he said, those who love my sunnah and those who teach others, they are my deputies. So adopting the sunnah is another way of adorning your life, beautifying your life, maximizing your time in your daily life. So, the sunnah when it comes to eating, the sunnah when it comes to sleeping, smiling is a sunnah. Mu'amalat, when meeting people, how to interact with others. For example, the Prophet ﷺ, when he would speak to someone, or someone would speak to him, he would face him, he would be face on, he would look at him throughout the conversation. He wouldn't have his back towards him. The positioning, this is also a sunnah, the sunnah way of even interacting with someone. So like this, we need to learn the sunnah first and then implement it in our lives. These were just a few ways of maximizing our good deeds. We all have 24 hours in a day, and in this day and age, we're all looking to maximize our seconds, our minutes, our hours in terms of finance, in terms of money. What's a quick way of, earning a large amount of money? And we spend a lot of energy, a lot of time, a lot of meetings, a lot of, meeting up with people. But how many of us have this same pain when it comes to spending our time in good deeds? Why? Because just like that seller of ice who was worried that his ice will melt and his capital, what he was going to profit from, would finish. Similarly, we need to think our life is melting away as well. Our days, our nights, once it goes, it's not going to come back. يَا أَيُّهَا الْإِنسَانُ إِنَّكَ كَادِحٌ إِلَىٰ رَبِّكَ كَدْحًا فَمُلَاقِي. O insan, you are to run towards your Lord. And then you're to meet him as well. And we mentioned how the Mufassirun said, running towards your Lord is in reference to your every breath that you take is taking you towards your Lord. You're not going to regain that breath. And then you will eventually meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's up to us to try and put ourselves in a position that when we're in the court of Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is merciful to us and favors us as well. May Allah jalla wa ala enable us to spend our entire life, however much we have left, in doing good deeds and in the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ameen, bijahi an-nabiyil ameen, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. We're calling you.